Jay Binkley up bright and early, tuning in. Said Jim Kelly's another name.
Jim Kelly's a good one. Yeah, absolutely. That is a really good one.
Yep.
Yeah, Jim Kelly losing four straight Super Bowls. You could have said the same thing for John Elway for a while, but then eventually he got his later on in his career.
And then he said Marty Schottenheimer as well as another guy that was not really a superstar, but right. He said nobody was better than getting to the playoffs and choking.
That's exactly right.
Philip Rivers.
Did he get to enough playoffs, though, before he...
I bet his record's better. I bet it's like more impressive than you think, as in games played in the playoffs. Because like there was a while they were winning their division.
They were. They were like 14-2, but they weren't winning in the postseason, nope. I don't think. Marty Schottenheimer obviously was the coach of that 14-2 team in San Diego, and then got bounced right after that. I mean, he didn't last long out there because, you know, he couldn't win in the postseason, and that ultimately did end. Marty Schottenheimer will always be kind of the footnote of his career, but, you know, you talk to guys from those early 90s Chiefs teams that were on him, they're like, man, Marty blew all those games.
5-7 in his career in the playoffs for one Philip Rivers.
Rivers was 5-7. That's it, huh? That's not a lot of playoff games. That's like 1 year for Patrick Mahomes.
Seriously.
What do you think about it, right? Like 7-5, what is 12? 11, right? 7-5 is 12. And Patrick Mahomes is 15-3. Patrick Mahomes has more playoff wins than Philip Rivers had playoff appearances.
That's right. And he's done it in half the career.
Yeah.
Speaking of playoff experience, here's Bill Belichick on the newly acquired Chiefs.
Look, Josh Uche is a really good rusher. He hasn't had a chance to rush much this year for the Patriots because they've been behind a lot. And, you know, it's the situation hasn't been good. But he had a big year 2 years ago. Now, you know, he had Judon on the other side of him, so it was two good pass rushers. But he'll have a lot of opportunities to rush in Kansas City. I think that he'll really help him. He's got surprising power for his size. He's got, you know, excellent quickness and a good get off, and he has some flexibility in coverage. So I think it's a good addition for a team that needs another pass rusher, which everybody does. Josh can do that. He'll definitely help him.
Josh Uche.
Nice addition for this team. I had texted you guys earlier in the day. I said, I think something may be happening today.
It was almost like, like something's going on. Not officially know if they're going to get anybody, but they are talking. It was like, and Schefter.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And then like Uche shows up here in Kansas City. And I think for the football savant and all of us, look, this is a nice addition for one big reason in my mind. It gives Spags another guy that can rush the quarterback.
No doubt.
And they're now going to go, and this is going to get a little nerdy, and I know Binkley probably perked up, you know, getting ready and excited about this kind of conversation.
Oh, he likes him.
But
out of Michigan.
Let me tell you something, Dustman. Yeah. I don't say the word Michigan. I usually say Ishigan, but if this guy comes in here and produces, I'll put the M back in front of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because us Ohio State guys, we don't ever utter that word, that dirty word, Ishigan. But now he's here, and it gives you five pass rushers. It's 2 deep plus one, because you got George Karloftis, obviously. You've got Mike Dana. He'll be back. Then Charles Domenico, who is making great progress. He'll be back. Yep. You got Felix and Udike Uzama, and now you add Uche into the mix. And that gives you five different pass rushers that you can attack the quarterback with. And that's where Spags earns his keep and earns his money the most, is when he can continue to send waves of people at the quarterback and guys that are fresh and ready to go throughout the game. And so it's a luxury move, I think, more so than the one we saw last week with DeAndre Hopkins, right? That was a need more than anything. This, to me, is more of a luxury move, but I love it because now you've got the ability, if you wanted to move Charles Omenihu and Mike Dana inside a little bit and play them. And I mean, you know, I'm just going to say, watch this, man, because what Spags is going to start to do with some of these pairings, and now that he has the opportunity to do it, it made this defense better. And you get a legit pass rusher now for the final 2 months of the season and the postseason to go along with the four pass rushers you already had from that position. You made yourself better yesterday. Very nice, shrewd move by Brett Veach. And essentially, people are like, what did they give up, right? Well, you gave up a 6th-round draft pick, which isn't that big a deal, but they expect if he leaves via free agency, they'll get a 7th-round comp pick back in return for him. So you're basically trading a 6th-rounder for a 7th-rounder, and you get Uche down the stretch to rush the quarterback for you. It's a win for everybody.
Yeah, and I like that Belichick said that he didn't really get to show his talents this year because New England's been behind and haven't been able to really like do what he does best. The other thing that I'm interested in, which I think is what gets Matt going as well, is like him being on the same side as Chris Jones.
Yeah.
Because like it's one of those, it kind of, I mean, I know it's not. I just saw 55 and, you know, kind of like an edge rusher. And I kind of thought about like Frank Clark.
Mm-hmm.
Like I thought about how like Frank was so benefited from having Chris Jones there. And this is like before, like, I mean, I would say that Chris Jones is better today than he was in 2000.
Chris Jones is playing better football today than he's ever played before.
All right, fair enough. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. And you put him together with Chris Jones, and then you have Karlaftis on the other side, and then you think about, okay, Minnehue comes back in probably, what, 3 or 4 weeks?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's 3 or 4 weeks. Maybe by week 10, maybe
whenever
11.
It is, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And maybe he's back by Buffalo, maybe he's not. But either way, that adds to it. You get FAU in the rotation as well, and then you have this guy, and you're like, okay, this guy's going to add more pressure, which is going to help the secondary, which is going to help the linebackers, which is going to help the defense. That, by the way, is number 2 in the NFL. That might be number 1 now that the Pittsburgh Steelers gave us so many points last
night. Yeah, they did. They gave up a lot of points to the Giants last night. The Giants didn't know what to do with almost 20 points scored yesterday. Right. It was very weird for them. But you also now have given the ability for everybody else on that defensive line to get better because you added one more piece.
That's going to give up 18.
They gave up 18. Yeah. It was close to 20 points last night. But you give everybody else the opportunity now on the defensive line to get better because you get guys more rest on the sidelines. And when you can throw just fresh waves of guys at the quarterback, man, like this is a very good move for like the football nerd and all of us to say, okay, it adds some depth. Like you know, it's probably not going to be like if you added Tyreek Hill, everybody would be excited about that. That jumps off the page.
Right.
Josh Uche, you're like, may have heard that name before. And then you start to do your research and figure out what it's all about and what this is going to do for the team and how it's going to make the team better. You're like, man, that's just another move by Brett Veach. I mean, like the guy continues to kill it when it comes to making moves that make this organization better. And, you know, there were some naysayers on Twitter yesterday, like up at Atchison and places like that, that are like complaining about the move and, you know, whatnot. But like, where do you get off complaining about this move that Brett Veach went out and made? A guy who's won 3 Super Bowl championships and built the roster maybe better than anybody else in the
right.
NFL.
Mac, what do you think about this move?
I'm so pumped, man.
Okay.
You actually know
they got a player, right, on their roster?
Yeah, I'm aware of that one. Yeah. No, I just love how different of a style he has than all the other pass rushers. You know, you got George Karlaftis, who feels like a power, not necessarily as fast or speedy, and you got Josh Uche, who's just going to, like, lower the shoulder like a Micah Parsons light kind of style rusher. If you haven't gotten to watch Josh Uche, just quicker than off the line than anyone else, going to dip his shoulder, get around you. I mean, had an incredible 2022. He just hasn't been able to rush the passer these past 2 seasons because the Patriots are down in every football game they play.
Yeah, absolutely. And so when you're on a bad football team, it limits exactly what you want to do all the time. So you got to play from behind constantly. I love the fact that Bill Belichick was opining on him because Belichick drafted the guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we can say what we want about Bill Belichick, but he's a pretty damn good defensive coordinator over the years, right? He knows defense. And for him to have the high praise of Josh Uche is really cool to hear because, you know, that's a Hall of Fame coach who drafted him. He understands what this kid was all about, why they went out and got him. And New England's doing the right thing right now. Like, I know it's only a 6th-round draft pick, but if you're going to build that franchise back up, you need as many draft picks as you can possibly get. And this guy going to free agency at the end of the year, you know, you better trade him now, get a better pick than the 7th-round compensatory pick you were probably going to get for him and start to move forward and start to move your organization forward. And now we're a week away, I think, from the trade deadline, right? A week from today is the trade deadline. I'm interested to see what happens today and tomorrow as we start to move into the week. And then when the Jets lose on Thursday night, if they decide to open up their roster and dump everybody off of that after Halloween.
Yeah, like Devontae Adams.
Yeah, like Devontae Adams. Go get him.
might
as well. I'd call for everybody on the
Sauce
Jets
Gardner.
Right now. The Jets and the Giants right now, where they sit, you'd be foolish to keep anybody on your roster.
If they really
right
wanted
now.
To give A.A. Ron a middle finger, they'd trade Lazard.
That'd be the one.
That would be awesome.
Be like, hey, Devontae, I'll be right back. I'm going to say something to Allen. Oh, you didn't hear. Hear what? Oh, no, Allen's on his way to Los Angeles.
Yeah, he's going
really?
To the Rams.
Yeah, he's going to the Rams. Oh, no one told you. No. Mm. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then it'd be like, welcome back to the darkness.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But Aaron has screwed up their organization. He really has. But they let him. They gave him the keys to the kingdom. This is why you don't let players take charge. Aaron Rodgers has screwed up the Jets. And if you're Woody Johnson, and if you want to get some final revenge on Aaron Rodgers, you start trading all of his guys and get rid of all of them. And if you're the Jets right now, you're going to have a new head coach, obviously. You're going to have a new general manager. You're going to have a new quarterback, or at least should have a new quarterback at the end of this season. The only way you can get up there and get better is by having younger players, younger talent, more draft picks. I mean, it should be open season for the Jets.
No, I believe it. On the come.
On the come.
So good, you got to play it twice.
On the come.
I mean, imagine getting in your car at 6:30 and you hear that.
That's right.
Like you start your, like, let's just do this. You get out of your living room, you got your coffee in your hand, you get in your car, you turn the radio on and...
On the come.
Okay, Tuesday.
Let's do it. Right at 6:30, too.
Normally it's like, traffic looks good downtown. The Grandview Triangle's a little backed up here at 6:30, but not for Frank, who gets in his car. Starts
on the come.
All right. Welcome to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. On the come this week, I'll go first. Puka Nacua, baby.
Woo!
Been out all year. Everybody was asking me, and I feel terrible for people that asked for my advice this week. Because I was like, man, they're really pushing this Cooper Kupp guy back. I feel like that's Stafford's, you know, bacon and eggs buddy. They eat breakfast every day together. Puka's going to get eased in there. Not a chance last Thursday, like 15 targets, 10 catches, 100 yards.
You got to go with your guy, right? Like, if he's healthy and ready to go, there's no easing back in. We only got 17 of these. Get your ass out there and play. Let's go.
Puka Nacua is one of those guys that – we always ask the question because he had 7 catches for 106 yards on Thursday night last week, had 9 targets. And that's like the typical like Puka Nacua stat,
so good.
Right? Just a PPR one wide receiver. And it always makes me think because like people always go back and think, man, that kid out of BYU that nobody knew was there, would he do good in the Chiefs offense? Probably. But it's like, is Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp the same wide receiver outside of a McVay offense with Matthew Stafford?
I think they're good in Kansas City. I think it matters if you have a quarterback getting you the football, you know? They're not going to be good with Daniel Jones. They're just not.
No, perfect. Yeah, I mean, obviously. But I mean, like, I'm just saying, like, would they be that guy anywhere else? Because, like, that system, the way that McVay runs that offense, it's like, would he be that guy in Washington with, you know, Jaden Daniels? Would he be that guy in Minnesota? You know, would they be those guys?
Yeah,
they play so well off each other.
They do, but would Travis Kelce be the same without Patrick Mahomes, too? Yeah. I mean, you know, that's like the wavelengths that they're on is just something that you can't translate from team to team. I mean, I've used it numerous times where Travis says, I don't know, Patrick knew where I was going to be before I knew where I was going to be, right? Like, you don't have that with another quarterback with Travis Kelce, and maybe you don't with them, but I'm not saying, you know, those guys wouldn't be good somewhere else.
And Puka Nacua goes against, you know, a team that gives up 375 yards total on average this week against Seattle in that divisional game. So Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, yes on start this week in fantasy.
Oh, God, yes. So L.A. is going to win that game, start to take control of that Western division in the NFC.
Winning that division.
I think they probably are
Matt called
now.
That like 2 weeks ago.
They're 3-4, the rest of that division 4-4.
Yeah, go Rams, right?
Go Rams.
Go Rams. My on the come this week, Bo Nix, baby. Bo Nix, I told you. Bo Nix, he leads all NFL rookies with 12 total touchdowns. Jaden Daniels ranks second with 11. Nix is also one of 4 rookies since 1970 with 8 or more pass touchdowns and 4 or more rushing TDs through his first 8 career games. And in October, Bo Nix is ranked the best rookie quarterback. More touchdowns than anybody from a rookie standpoint, a better TD to interception ratio than anybody, more passing yards than any rookie, more rushing TDs than any rookie, and 3 wins ties for first. Pretty impressive by Bo Nix, who, I got to tell you, I think Denver's making the playoffs right now. Just looking at the standings and seeing where everybody else is, Denver's got as good a shot as anybody to get in the postseason. And if they do, it's all because of Bo Nix.
Do you really believe he's better than Jaden Daniels?
No.
Okay.
You still think he's better than Caleb Williams, though?
Absolutely. I think Caleb Williams stinks.
More impressive in your guys' mind, Bo Nix in Denver at 5-3, second in the AFC West, or Jaden Daniels in Washington, 6-2, in first place in the AFC East?
Jaden Daniels.
Bo Nix.
I think it's tough, dude. Like, I know that we think about,
because
like,
we didn't think Denver would be
anything. Thought Denver was going to be like dog crap, dude.
Right.
Like,
but that defense is really good.
They're 5-3. But Bo Nix is leading rookie quarterbacks in every statistical category in the month of October.
And who saw? And here's the thing that's great. What's Dallas's biggest problem? Defense?
Quarterback? Head coach? Owner?
Yeah.
General manager and owner?
Like, you and I could get 10 yards rushing in an entire game against Dallas, which is saying something, right?
You know,
like,
how hard that is, though?
I believe it, but not against Dallas. And Dallas's defensive coordinator is in first place in a divisional team and going to win coach of the year. Who deserves coach of the year more, Sean Payton or Quinn?
I think Dan Quinn, because the situation in Washington is just always bizarre, but now new owner, so we can't factor that in. But I think you're right. It is tough to decide, but Nobody thought Bo Nix was going to be anything special. Nobody thought that this Denver team was going to be any good. Bo Nix is leading all rookies. They're not winning despite Bo Nix. No. They're winning with Bo Nix right now.
Right.
So I think Denver is the bigger surprise at 5-3. I didn't think they'd be above 500 at all this year.
Yeah, I didn't either. I'll give you that. This month, they played the Raiders, the Chargers, the Saints, and the Panthers.
Coming up, or they already did?
That's what they did. That's the month that we're bragging about. I'm just letting you know.
Yeah, they took advantage of their schedule. What, Washington play the Giants and Cowboys and Eagles?
Hurt I mean, you,
yeah.
Man. Gee, many Christmas.
He's so mad that Bo Nix is good.
But he plays the Ravens, the Chiefs, the Falcons, and the Raiders.
That's right. And then he gets Colts, Chargers, Bengals, Chiefs.
Yeah, let's see what he does.
Do they finish above 500? Yes or no?
Yeah, they do.
Mac?
No. This is the fakest team in the league.
Fakest team in the league?
Oh, no, they're not.
I think Pittsburgh's the fakest team in the league.
Pittsburgh's right there. No, Pittsburgh's better
their
than
their schedule
Denver.
Gets brutal, too.
Their schedule gets really fake.
Pittsburgh is the fakest team in the league.
Once you get this momentum and you start to taste winning, man, strange things happen. Ask the Royals from this year.
Would you rather have Bo Nix or Russell Wilson?
Bo Nix.
Well, are we talking about this season?
Yeah.
Well, right now.
Russell Wilson.
Okay.
Oh, God. He's actually played pretty well these past 2 weeks. You watched the game last night. He was good. Those deep balls, man.
He hit two on the come.
Yeah, but he's so cringe, man. He's at the end of his career. Bo Nix is at the beginning of his career.
We're talking about this season. Yeah. We're just going out there to play hard.
You know, my team's ready to go, and I don't know why I'm sweating so much in a pregame interview, but my eye black's going to have to get redone at halftime.
What was his key word now that he's saying?
Who knows?
Oh, well,
grind steel? Or something. I don't know.
Geez. Lexington Steel. Don't look that name up. You're on the come.
I'm going to go Keon Coleman for the Buffalo Bills. Okay. Wide receiver. He's changing Keon Coleman's ceiling as far as fantasy football is concerned. Tariq Rulin, one of the best corners in the league on Seattle.
Cooked.
And he's like 6'2". Yeah, cooked him in the end zone and then like taps him on the head. He's like, good rep guy. Good rep boy. Yeah, I think Keon Coleman's a stud.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Josh Allen's got it.
On the come.
Yeah. We did nail it, though. Yeah. On the come was the first thing I heard in their car. Just got in the car.
Good.
Turn it on the come.
Yes.
And then someone said Dr. Pepper on the come.
You guys think the Steelers are more fake than the Browns? That's crazy.
Yeah,
no, I don't know.
Because I'm just defending what you said.
I don't think the Broncos are fake.
I think the Broncos are just beating bad teams. Whereas, like, I think people legitimately think Pittsburgh can do something. Like, Mike Tomlin's record in the playoffs is not good. Mike Tomlin wins the regular season, but I don't trust this team to beat Baltimore. I don't trust this team to be able to beat Kansas City. I don't trust, like, this.
But
this
to make the playoffs.
They might make the playoffs.
I
think both Pittsburgh and Denver both make the playoffs.
I think Denver could actually play each other.
I think that's the matchup right now, isn't it? Denver versus ugly. Pittsburgh or something.
Five seed, four seed?
Yeah, something like that. They're right there neck and neck, yeah.
I mean, I think Bo Nix is the third best rookie in the league at quarterback. And I think that their team, I mean, I think they're both on the same field. I think they're both on the same playing field. Like if Pittsburgh and Denver played each other in the playoffs, I think that game would be 17-10. It would be one of those games you're like, I'm glad I had money on this because I don't know why I watched
it. Why don't you say the Rams are the biggest fake team at 3-4? Because they should be better than 3-4.
They've been severely hurt.
Yeah.
With their two biggest superstars that we just referenced in Cup and Nakua.
Right, exactly. They've been hurt. So that's why I'm saying they're like a, what was the term, the fraud team or whatever you want to say. Like the Rams at 3-4. Probably are a fraud team. If they're healthy, which, you know, ifs and buts and all that, they're probably sitting maybe with two losses right now. So, you know, you got to look at it that way. I think Minnesota may be considered a fraud team right now. They're starting to come back to the pack. Sam Darnold's starting to see ghosts again, right? So, you know, you've got a couple of teams like that. Obviously, we're looking at the Chicago Bears. They're considered a fraud team right now. Everybody wants Eberflus fired. So there are some teams out there. He should be fired. There are some teams out there that are not playing as well as they should be, and you could look at them as fraud teams. There are some teams that are maybe playing better than anybody expected them. You want to call them a fraud team, but you are what your record is, and there's no changing that right now. Both Denver and Pittsburgh are above 500. You get that early season success, and it starts to snowball. Like I said, ask the Royals. They built off of early season success, and it snowballed all season long, and they started to believe that, hey, the boys are playing some ball, and once you have that belief, you can do anything you want to do.